This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We begin today with news from Boston Federal Court. Catherine Gregg, the longtime girlfriend of mobster James Whitey Bulger, received an 8-year prison sentence this afternoon. WBUR's David Boeri is at the courthouse and joins us now. So, David, prosecutors pushed for a 10-year sentence for Gregg. Her defense attorneys asked for far fewer, 2 to 3 years. Seems like the judge went kind of down the middle. Did he give a sense as to why he chose an 8-year prison sentence?
Yes, well, actually, he went upward from what the Bureau of Probation, the Department of Probation was suggesting, saying she had no previous criminal record. They had recommended less than 3 years. So he looked at her charges and then enhanced, as it's called in these federal sentencing guidelines, enhanced upwards because of the presence of guns in that Santa Monica apartment that he said she knew about, the presence of cash as well. And he looked at those two things and said they're aggravating factors that warrant an upward departure from what the Department of Probation was saying.
And David, as the judge was handing down the sentence, did he speak to Catherine Gregg at any time and direct any of his comments to her specifically?
He did. And he told Catherine Gregg that he believed that you are responsible. We are all responsible for the choices we make. You made a decision, and today you're paying the price for it. She nodded in assent as he said that. She had a severe look throughout the proceedings, once or twice broken by emotion, but he told her, you are responsible for your decisions, and you're paying the price.
Now, apparently, family members of some of Whitey Bulger's alleged victims were in the courthouse today. The judge allowed them to speak. One of them was Patricia Donahue. Her husband, Michael, was murdered in 1982. We have a little bit of tape from Patricia Donahue speaking outside of the courthouse after the sentencing. As you know, David, there was a news helicopter hovering overhead, so this tape's a little hard to hear, but here's what Patricia Donahue said.
I actually didn't look right at her, but it felt very good for me to describe to her how I really felt and why I thought that she should go to jail. It made me feel good to be able to express myself.
So, David, what did the family members say to Catherine Gregg in court today?
One of the most dramatic scenes I've ever encountered in a federal courthouse. The judge decided they would be allowed to make impact statements, and the first person was Tim Connors. It was 37 years ago today Tim Connors told Catherine Gregg that her boyfriend murdered his father, Eddie Connors. He said to her, you are not here by choice, but only because you were caught. You killed a lot of hopes and dreams of my family members. These individuals that spoke, some of them clearly angry, frustrated over the years of frustration that includes, importantly, and the judge acknowledged, the fact that they were sandbagged by the Department of Justice, sandbagged by the FBI, and even recently when they tried to sue for damages against the government because of the government's protection of Bulger, the government fought them. So here they were today. They often were crude. Connors said to Catherine Gregg, in reference to her brother who had committed suicide many years ago, if I had a sister like you, I would have killed myself too. With that, she gasped. Her hand went to her head. She dropped. Dropped her head. That was probably the most emotional moment. But she was pilloried. It was as if you were standing in a Puritan session in the 1600s because the congregation was venting at her and condemning her. In another case, if I can, Meghna, Paul McGonigal, the nephew of Catherine Gregg, told her, you betrayed my family because your boyfriend killed my father and you protected your boyfriend. So all of hell and brimstone was being poured down on her by the families of those murder victims. The judge had to caution them gently several times for being crude and cruel to her.
Well, David, I mean, it sounds like it was so intense that Kevin Reddington, who was Catherine Gregg's lawyer, ended up being very unhappy with how those family members expressed themselves, as you were saying. So we have a little bit of tape again from Kevin Reddington. Again, this is Catherine Gregg's lawyer speaking underneath a helicopter at Boston Federal Court, but here's what he had to say about those victim statements.
Well, would you want to say something to the people that have been in pain if they called you a dirty bitch and then they said that they wished that if you were their sister, that they'd kill themselves? And after all that we've been going through, would you want to apologize to somebody for being in love with a guy and living with him for those years? Really?
David, you've been following this case for a long time. I mean, what do you make of that moment and the fact that Reddington says Catherine Gregg still doesn't believe Whitey Bulger is guilty of any of the crimes he's alleged to have committed?
It would seem to just defy credulity that she doesn't think that he has been involved in any way or hasn't heard that he was involved in any way in violent acts, especially given the fact that her first husband had two brothers that were allegedly murdered by Bulger way back when. It is that. But, you know, Reddington is furious. He believes the U.S. Attorney's Office has played to those families. And, again, it's ironic here that the Department of Justice has sandbagged those families in civil courts and during the investigations for a long time. Now they wanted them heard. And so Reddington is saying that the U.S. Attorney heard those voices and recently changed its tune with a plea deal. So he maintains, by the way, and this too is stunning, that in fact Catherine Gregg would do it all again. She has no regrets. Perhaps the most stunning thing of all was to watch her. She has been the worst witness for her own defense that there could be. Never looked at the families as they talked to her about the impact of those murders. Never looked at them, never recognized them, chose not to speak. I thought she might actually avail herself of an opportunity to recognize their pain. Instead, she closed her eyes, head straight forward, and it really was as if she was in that Puritan church, mm-hmm. and all hell and damnation was coming down on her, and she tuned herself out to it largely.
WBUR senior reporter David Boeri speaking to us from Boston Federal Court. David, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Megan.